Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, or WUF for short. I am your lay leader this morning, Alana. I use she, her pronouns. If you are new here in person or online, please know that you are welcome no matter your story. This space is for all kinds, all people, as we learn together to listen to each other with graciousness, with love, and authenticity. For announcements, our speaker and their organizations will be downstairs tabling information and opportunities for you to learn more about how to stand with the Filipino people. Very excited for everyone to get a chance to visit and learn more about their work. And secondly, we are hosting a potluck downstairs in Forest Hall right after service. Everyone is welcome, regardless of whether you brought a dish. Which is great because my dish is late. It will be here soon. And I encourage you now to take a few moments to greet one person here whose name you do not know. Kids, go and make a new friend. Thank you, everyone. If you would please be seated. We will have lots of opportunity to continue these conversations over coffee, treats, and our potluck tonight after service. I encourage you to welcome Kara Magaral and Ashana Sagathadasa. They will be playing, and my screen just went black, Be Thou My Vision. So much talent in our midst. Paisley, would you please come up and be our chalice lighter this morning? As we light our chalice, please remember this flame is a symbol, and I suspect it represents something different to each and every one of us because we are UUs after all. To me, this flame is the spark of conversation and connection. It is the warmth of feeling like I am not, you are not alone. The glow of being part of something greater than myself. And the blaze that is our passion and will to challenge a system that harms, hates, and hegemonizes. Please join us in our affirmation. Open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors. Our first reading today is from the Young Lords. The Young Lords were a grassroots civil rights and political party started in the 1960s in Chicago and New York, working toward the freedom of Puerto Rico, other oppressed countries, immigrant communities, and women. I urge you all to look into their 13-point program. It was well ahead of its time, if you are not already familiar. The Young Lords worked through neighborhood health programs, education, and canvassing, similar to the Black Panthers, but more focused on Latino communities. Here is a piece of their wisdom entitled Celebration for a People's Church. God is not dead. God is bread. Bread is rising. Bread means revolution. Organize for a new world. Make the church a people's church. Wash off your brother's blood. The streets belong to the people, and the church belongs to the streets. In the midst of occupied territory, the liberated zone is here. And now for our opening hymn, Come and Go With Me.
Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land where I'm bound. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land where I'm bound. There'll be freedom in that land. There'll be freedom in that land. There'll be freedom in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. There'll be freedom in that land. There'll be freedom in that land. There'll be freedom in that land where I'm bound. There'll be justice in that land. There'll be justice in that land. There'll be justice in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. There'll be justice in that land. There'll be justice in that land. There'll be justice in that land where I'm bound. There'll be singing in that land. There'll be singing in that land. There'll be singing in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. There'll be singing in that land. There'll be singing in that land. There'll be singing in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound.
Now we invite Jen Fife Adams up for gratitude and giving. Go ahead, Shrek. May the ushers come up, please.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you to my fan club over there. In this moment, we take time to consider our gifts, resources, and needs as a community. As the ushers come forward to pass the baskets, please allow me to introduce the nonprofit that we are supporting today. Since January of 2017, Planting Seeds Community of Beaverton has been supporting Beaverton refugee and asylum seeker students and their families. Our mission is to help people understand the power that individuals have to change lives for the better. You can make a real difference in a Beaverton student's life. Your donation in the basket this morning will go to support these families through gift card donations for places like Winco and Fred Meyer. Thank you on behalf of Congregant Roger Golliver and myself for supporting the refugee and asylum-seeking children in our community.
Please join me in our words of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. Right now is time for all ages. If everyone under the age of 18 would come up and sit closer to the front. I have some questions for you. This morning we are not going to be reading a book together. I think there's lots of opportunities for you to get told things. And this time I'd like to ask you all some questions and talk a little bit about voting, because all the adults in your life should be voting. This week, our ballots are due Monday, just a little reminder for the back. And I don't know if your parents have talked about voting or if you've seen them voting, filling out their ballots, or you've put their ballots into the ballot box, right? Yeah, my kids do that. That's their best. That's the best part, is running over to the ballot box and popping it in. I want you all to stand up really quick and look to the back. Look at all these adults. All these adults should be voting for you. You all don't get to vote. It's them. They are making choices and decisions for you. So this is your opportunity to tell them some of the things that are important to you. What do you want adults in this room and everywhere to know about your future and what you want?
That's okay. What would you like adults to know
about? Yeah, go ahead, sweetie. Avery? What do you want adults to know when they vote? Let's make pets more available for renters. They're good for our mental health. Thank you very much. If anyone... Oh, Paisley, go ahead.
Lower prices so it's easier for people to just live in general.
Anyone else? Yeah, Gil?
Fossil fuels should be illegal.
And if anyone could make one law, what would it be? Eli?
I think the government should own Nike.
Own Nike? Okay, fair enough. The people should own the means of production. Yes, go ahead, Paisley.
More things for children to do, because right now Portland literally, like, there's few things and the stuff, like, it's just, there's not much for children to do other than parks.
Very topical, as the parks in the Tualatin Hills nature area are looking for more funding during this ballot week. Yes, sweetie?
Irene? I want a pet.
Irene wants a pet. Anyone else?
Also, the streets right now in Portland are kind of somewhat dangerous to walk on, and like there's problems on them, and I want to find a way to fix that. Like homelessness, that could go into the money thing, because things need to be lower prices so more people can have homes. Yeah.
Yes.
I love my mom and my dad.
So there you have it. When you're voting this week, as you will be voting this week, think about what the kids here need for their future, what they've been wanting as well. So if you would form arches over the aisles, we will sing our children out to their classrooms.
We hold you in our love as you go, may your hearts be at peace as you go, to nurture the spark of your precious life. We hold you in our love as you go.
We're going to do joys and sorrows a little differently today. And just so you all know, joys and sorrows is one of my favorite aspects of our service. When I first started coming, this was integral to my connection as a community. So I wanted to try something that symbolized that a little bit more. We are a community that holds each other's happiest moments close and dear. We also share the load. We share in each other's losses and pain. You are not alone in your joys or your sorrows. And I hold this stone, and in it I ask you to push, envision, let flow your grief, your loss, your pain, and also your hope, your joy, your peace, so that I may hold it, as I know that you will hold everything that I feel as well. As a community. Today we will stay in our seats, but I ask you to vocalize, if you are comfortable, one word, one feeling that you want to or need to share, that you want to or need to communicate to us so that we may hold it with you. My word is fragile. Please hold it with me.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Hope.
Hope.
Joy.
Joy.
Generosity.
Laughter. Understanding.
Pain.
Laughter.
Patience.
Patience. Loss.
Climate.
Climate.
Honor.
Honor.
Hope.
Hope.
Justice.
Justice. Thank you. I hold these feelings with you. This moment is yours, a moment of reflection, to meditate or pray, as is your tradition in this moment. Now, may I invite Dan Brown up? We will be singing.
Remain seated.
Comfort me.
Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, O my soul. Comfort me, comfort me, comfort me, O my soul. Sing with me, sing with me, sing with me, O my soul. Sing with me, sing. speak for me. Speak for me. Speak for me, O my soul. Speak for me. Speak for me. Speak for me, O my soul. Dance with me. Dance with me. Dance with me. Soul, dance with me, dance with me, dance with me, oh my soul, comfort me. Comfort me, comfort me, O my soul. Comfort me, comfort me, comfort me, O my soul.
Teared up only a little bit. It's fine. No one noticed. Our second reading is from Father Santiago Cassani Salas. Many of our priests, nuns, pastors, and laity in Christianity are working on uniting the Filipinos for them to wield their collective power to gain collective good. And the collective good today is exposing the evil tyrant Duterte, joining the broad unity of the people and fighting to be collectively rid of the despicable regime. I encourage those who can go even further, as I did, in taking up arms for the liberation of the motherland and the people. We are Christians who wish for our people's freedom not in the heavens, but here on earth. We wish for a society where our people earn their daily bread. We wish for a society that is void of trespasses and a society where the masses have the power and the glory, not a madman who would like to bring his country down with mass murder, massive corruption, including engaging in narco-politics and puppetry to foreign interests. It is my greatest pleasure to introduce to you two of the most amazing young activists I have ever had the pleasure of meeting. Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines' very own Andy Brown and Yuri Francis of People Organizing for Philippine Solidarity. These individuals are passionate, they are dedicated and thoughtful to the cause of freeing the people of the Philippines and all oppressed people from injustice. Before I turn over the podium, though, I also ask you to remember our congregation's special connection with this work. Some of you may remember Reverend Joseph Santos Lyons, once a child of this fellowship, and now a UU minister who divides his time between advocacy for houselessness and other causes here in the Portland area and working on campaigns and special projects in the Philippines. May we grow more lifelong servants to advocacy and justice, like Reverend Santos Lyons. May we change the world. And now, Andy and Yuri. Thank you. Good morning. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for having us. Like Alana said, I'm Andy. I'm from Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines, and this is Yuri from People Organizing for Philippine Solidarity. Both of our organizations fight alongside the Filipino people in their struggles for a just and lasting peace. Palestine and the Philippines are two countries where people of faith fight for their rights and stand in solidarity with other oppressed people of the world, while they are beautiful countries full of fruits, arable land, water, and of course people, are torn apart by war crimes that are funded by our own tax dollars. Today we'll be talking about Palestine, the Philippines, their connections, and how people of faith and people of community can play a particular role in fighting with people struggling for a just and lasting peace. But first, a little context on the Philippines. The Philippines is an archipelagic nation with thousands of islands, inhabited by many people who speak different languages, practice many different religions, and live very different lives. The country is resource rich. It is abundant in fruits, fish, minerals, and lumber. While the Philippines itself has enough resources to actually support all of the people, the majority of people are poor. The majority of Filipinos in the Philippines live in the countryside, tilling land that they don't own, either for very meager wages or to live off of subsistence off of the produce that they grow. This system of having the majority of Filipinos working the resource-rich land for export is beneficial to the wealthiest people in the Philippines. So this system is violently enforced. When Filipinos fight for their rights to land, food, and water, they are met with brutal repression. One example of this is terror tagging. In the Philippines, there's a piece of legislation called the anti-terror law. This is where anyone in the Philippines who is accused of being a terrorist or a communist can legally be detained without due process. And so often we see it actually leading to stalking, harassment, and unfortunately even murder. Organizers, activists, progressive artists, union members, and even church people who are building a world where everyone can eat, read, and have land to till are tagged as terrorists. Another piece of this brutality are the bombings and strafings of the countryside. In the Philippines, there is a civil war between the Philippine national government, who protect the wealthiest in the Philippines and collaborate with foreign corporations to line their pockets even more than they already have, and between them and the National Democratic Front of the Philippines, who are building up projects in the countryside to meet the people's needs. Because of this, the Government Republic of the Philippines bombed the countryside so indiscriminately that they have even killed their own forces. They have also extensively violated international humanitarian law by killing peace consultants from the NDFP, who even the Government of the Philippines have agreed that these peace consultants have diplomatic immunity, and they still have killed them. These bombings of the countryside, murder of peace consultants, stalking and harassment of peace activists is something that is sponsored by our own tax dollars. The U.S. has sent billions of dollars in security assistance, done multiple multi-million dollar arms sales, and has completed immense amounts of military exercise. As a matter of fact, the majority of exercises that happen in the Philippines are done alongside the U.S. This is done with a government that is torturing and killing its own people. So, in the midst of this exploitation, in the midst of this brutal violence and oppression, the people of the Philippines have chosen to organize and to fight for their rights. They have struggled against centuries of brutal colonization by Spain, Japan, and most recently, our very own government. Although the U.S. has granted them a sham independence in 1946, our government has supported puppet regime after puppet regime, helping rulers who will protect U.S. power and profits at all costs. The Filipino people have chosen to wage a fight for their resources to be used to feed and house themselves, a fight for literacy, a fight for health, a fight for peace, not a peace without struggle, not an easy peace, but a peace that is just and a peace that is lasting.
Both Palestine and the Philippines bear the scars of colonial extraction and imperialist domination, with their natural resources plundered and their people and economy exploited by foreign powers. In Palestine, this has taken the form of land confiscation, settlement expansion, and the blockade of Gaza, while in the Philippines, it has involved the bombing of the countryside, the plunder of mineral resources, and land grabbing. Both of these liberation movements have been resilient over decades of evolving struggle, despite constantly facing U.S.-backed militarized repression. The majority of Filipinos are peasants, subject to a feudal system that forces them into a cycle of constant debt to their landlords. Many are landless, forced to rent plots of land or work on farms part-time or seasonally for low wages. Some landlords to this day still use whips on peasants. This extremely exploitative system is maintained in order to hold back the Philippine economy, keeping them dependent on foreign aid. Palestinian peasants or Falahin have also faced land theft, particularly during the Nakba, the violent campaign that displaced half of the Palestinian population in the late 40s. Israeli settlers continue to take Palestinian land and property by illegitimate means. The U.S. has said that they have a special relationship with both the Philippines and Palestine. And what does that mean? The Philippines has been recognized as a crucial strategic location by the U.S. since the 19th century, seeing it as an outpost for U.S. interests throughout Asia. The Philippines remains crucial to U.S. military strategy, especially as tensions continue to rise between the U.S. and China. And since the establishment of Israel in 1948, the U.S. has recognized Israel as an outpost of U.S. interests in the Middle East, and during the Cold War, essential in preventing Soviet penetration into the Middle East. The U.S. has maintained a close alliance with Israel since, which includes generous military aid packages, enabling its occupation of Palestinian territories and the ongoing dispossession of Palestinian land. The people's movements in the Philippines have long expressed solidarity with the Palestinian struggle, seeing their victory as vital to their own victory. Layla Khalid, a Palestinian freedom fighter, came to the Philippines in 2015 to see the people's movements, to meet the people's movements, and to speak at conferences and gatherings. And she was able to visit a Lumad camp, an indigenous camp, which profoundly impacted her. And during one of her speeches that she gave on her trip, she spoke about how genocide was actively being waged by the U.S.-backed Philippine government and multinational mining corporations against the Lumads and indigenous people who were standing up to fight their ancestral lands from imperialist, fight for their ancestral lands and save it from imperialist plunder. And she said that the genocide against the Lumad is very much the same as the genocide waged by the Zionist government against the Palestinian people. And since October 7th, thousands of Filipinos have marched in the streets with rallies and protests at the Israeli embassy, where their people confronted Israeli officials and diplomats and faced police violence. And the common thread binding these struggles is a demand for land, for those who till it, work it, and whose people have called it home for generations. Rejecting the domination of foreign interests over their land and national destiny, both movements strive for nothing less than a just and lasting peace.
In 2022, I got to go to the Philippines. And when I was in there, we conducted many, many interviews with church people to learn about their lives. We spoke to one pastor. He was a kind man with a gentle smile and wired glasses. The community that he worked with lived on a riverbank. The people there gathered water from the river. They would stand on the bank and gather the water. But whenever there were natural disasters, which happened a lot in the Philippines, the bank would erode and people would actually fall into the river. This was extremely dangerous. So this man and his congregation, they worked together to make a well. They saw the suffering, and as people of faith, they gave water to the thirsty. And yet, this peace-loving, gentle man, just trying to help his people drink clean water, was called a terrorist by the government of the Philippines. In the Philippines, because of the brutal repression, much of the organizing has had to go underground. And the church people have been the open face of the movement. Even still, they often face terror tagging. In the face of these accusations of terrorism that so often lead to extreme repression and violence, it was the people of faith who fed us when we were hungry, who gave us water when we were thirsty, and kept us safe when our security was on the line. The faith people gave us shelter when we needed somewhere to sleep.
We stayed in the parsonage of an Iglesia Filipino Independiente pastor. Iglesia Filipino Independiente, or IFI, is a Filipino split from the Spanish Catholic Church. When the Spanish colonized the Philippines, they used religion as a tool to enact violence against the people and steal their land and resources. The founders of the IFI Church were actually devout Catholics themselves. They had a calling to pursue the clergy, but they couldn't because the Catholic Church wouldn't allow them to because they were Filipino. From this, a struggle for a just church, a church that actually represents the peaceful aspirations of the Filipino people, the IFI was born. One day in the parsonage after dinner, we were all very lazy from full bellies of delicious food and the human night. Out of the sleepy lull, the pastor, he pointed to the rice cooker on the table, and he was like, "This rice cooker was like the Catholic Church." And then he pointed to this little clump of rice that somebody hadn't cleaned up from the dinner table yet, and he was like, "This was, what did he say? And this was like the Filipino clergy struggling against the Spanish." And he laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. He said, "We are a church born out of struggle." And it can really feel like we're that little clump of rice on the table sometimes when we're struggling for peace and struggling for justice and going up against the rice cookers of militarism, violence, and wars of aggression against the basic people. But one clump of rice, or one small group of people, if you will, if our struggle is just, we will find each other. We will join together, and we can struggle for a world where people can drink clean water and people can live in a society where there aren't war crimes. We can live in a society that is based off of a just and lasting peace.
I was able to visit the Philippines over a year ago in order to meet and interview people who have faced and witnessed international humanitarian law violations and war crimes by their own government. We heard from people who had been kidnapped, tortured, or lost loved ones to police or state violence, endless stories of military violence for not just those we formally interviewed, but countless people we met along the way. And one of those interviews was with a group of ministers and leaders in the United Church of Christ in the Philippines who had been terror tagged and were facing a severe harassment campaign by the military. A bishop who was among those who were terror tagged made the situation clear when he told us, "We are being attacked because our denouncement of the worsening human rights conditions." He went on to say, we are just articulating our prophetic faith as a church, our stand as a church to unite with the people. For the bishop we spoke to, the gospel required ministers to speak out against the state attacks on the people, and that their persecution was just part of the price of being a minister of the gospel, quoting Jesus, "Blessed are those who are persecuted in my name." The bishop said all of this confidently and boldly and beaming with a smile. And I encountered this same confidence over and over again in dozens of activists, organizers, and church people in the Philippines. The terror tag ministers we met were all navigating endless relational, emotional, and even physical turmoil spurred on by the military's actions. And yet these ministers found strength and joy in each other and the people they served in their churches and communities, and leaned into the faith that all their collective efforts will be worth it, that there will be a generation sooner than later who will no longer face this misery. They trust that the people will carry on the fight for justice unto completion, no matter what leaders are martyred, no matter what repression came down on their communities. And this future, one they may never know for themselves, but one they're giving their lives to, was their good news. It was their gospel, and they are confident in it. Organizing for workers' rights, defending the land and water from corporate greed, teaching indigenous Lumad youth their language and history, basically all forms of activism and organizing, can lead to your death in the Philippines. And yet when Andy and I were in the Philippines, we witnessed people of faith in their communities doing these things. They were organizing themselves to take care of each other, to protect each other, even as repression intensified. And we witnessed people who embodied loving your neighbor, including their neighbors across the world who are fighting for their liberation. These activists, pastors, students, peasant farmers, they know the dangerous implications of the work of liberation and know that martyrdom isn't a far-off possibility, but full-heartedly believe that serving the people is worth it, The people and their victory is worth it. As you all know better than I do, the seventh principle calls UU churches to respect the interdependent web of all existence. Honoring the fact that we share one world and that all our lives are connected. I think one can say it also means embracing the unity of our struggles, resistance, and aspirations. This principle urges us to be present and conscious of our connection to each other. This requires vulnerability, even discomfort. It requires us to lean into that tug on our hearts when we see suffering, pain, and exploitation. And to not shove it down or push it away. It requires us to do that together, to grieve together, to celebrate together, to even get angry together, enraged together, so that we can act together, putting our deepest convictions into practice, to create a world where it is easy and natural to respect the web of all existence. The achievement of national liberation in the Philippines, the achievement of a free Palestine, is not simply a victory for a single people or nation. These are victories for all people, for the whole world, as it brings us closer to that world, where it is easy and natural to respect the web of all existence. And let us learn from the people who are fighting for just and lasting peace all over the world. Let us learn to hold heartbreak together and take bold action together in order to love our neighbor. May we find joy in the fight for justice, taking pleasure in the people winning, with gratitude that we all can play a role in building a new world.
We welcome all of you to join us in building this new world together. Just this past week, the Filipino people and their allies put on trial the U.S.-backed Marcos and Duterte regimes, as well as Joe Biden, and actually found them, the verdict was guilty. They are guilty of war crimes based on many tenets of international humanitarian law, on many precedents that are there to determine what is and what is not a war crime. They're found guilty. So please join us this week as we recognize these findings. One thing we'll be doing is we will be having a lobbying day on Wednesday with Senator Merkley, and we'll be meeting with one of his staffers and sharing some of the findings, as well as having a call-in day asking him to suspend military aid to the Philippines until all the war crimes have been accounted for through the Philippine Human Rights Act. And then to kind of show the culmination of all this legislative work we're doing this week, we'll be having a die-in at his office on Thursday as well. So we will be downstairs, and we can give you more information on how to get plugged into those things. If you feel more comfortable calling in, that is an option. If you feel more comfortable at the die-in, that's an option too. So please, we're here to help you join us in struggling alongside the Filipino people for a just and lasting peace. Thank you.
I had the pleasure of learning a lot more about our speakers' time in the Philippines and the stories they told and the passion they had. I wanted to give you all an opportunity to hear it from their own lips, like some of the stories that they had. If anyone has questions about what they've been doing, what their plan is in the future, any details, but also their personal experiences in the Philippines, I'll be passing the mic around for that. If I may start, can you tell us, each of you, the most moving thing that you experienced in the Philippines when you were there? No pressure or anything.
I think there's so many things, it's really hard to like kind of come up with one. But just the one that's like coming to my mind is that like I was sharing, like a lot of our time was actually with different faith people, which was actually surprising because we went there to do elections observation. But there was one day where we actually, to have tourist visas, we had to make sure we did some tourist stuff. So we went on this really long hike, and it was extremely steep. And I'm not a big hiker. It wasn't really for me, but we did it, you know. And there was a pastor there who, he was just so sweet and so gentle. And he kept offering to carry my backpack for me. And I kept being like, no, I don't want this cute old man to be carrying my backpack for me. But I think it just really shows, like, the selfless nature of the people who are in the struggle. And they really see it as How can we accomplish this task, even something as simple as like climbing up a mountain? Like, how can we accomplish it together? Because the objective is for us to get to do this tourist thing together so you can check off, you know, you did a tourist activity so you can get this certain visa. So I think he saw it as an act of organizing, honestly, and that even something as simple as carrying a backpack is a task that you can carry with a lot of conviction. I was able to do it myself, but it was very sweet that he offered. So, yeah.
So I did interviews and stuff with people, and one of the people we interviewed was a man who's he was a peasant farmer, and his farm for 3 days was shot up by the military. And him and his family had to crawl through the fields for 3 days to find each other. And he was likely terror attacked because his nephew does like NGO work and is like in the movement for national liberation. And so, but yeah, so he came to give us an interview and traveled really far to get to us. And he was with his nephew. And I don't know, he was telling his story, and somebody asked, like, are you mad that your nephew is basically why your life is ruined? Like, you can't go back to your farm, you're in hiding, your wife has panic attacks at all hours. Like, and he said, no, I'm just grateful to have somebody to fight with and someone that makes the situation clear for me. Yeah, and, like, the whole time, like, I don't know, just seeing, like, yeah, and as he was saying this, his nephew was, like, rubbing his back, and, you know, it was, yeah, so, yeah.
Thank you all for being here today. What are some of the initiatives that you're doing here that you feel are most successful or that you see the most promise for the future?
Okay, so one of the things that we're working on right now is, so we're working on a campaign, both PTRIP and POPs, called the No to New Scale campaign. There's actually a local small modular nuclear reactor company in Portland, and they have done deals with Marcos, and they're trying to build small modular nuclear reactors in the Philippines, which is something that, whether or not you believe in nuclear as like a clean option for energy, the reality is that, first of all, the Philippines is already in a cost of living crisis, and the evidence is showing that it's going to be more expensive. And then the other thing, too, is that through the 123 nuclear deal with the U.S. and the Philippines, any sort of nuclear technology, information, anything like that, has to be protected with security. So that means that security and military and police are all lumped together in the Philippines. So I saw it myself, like when we went through like the Dole plantation, like the security is people with automatic weapons. It's very militarized. And so basically with the installation of SMNRs in the Philippines, there's going to be heightened militarism. And so we're basically saying and other organizations, Philippines organizations locally as well, are saying we don't want this. And so we're organizing against it. They're already a failing company. So standing up and telling them we don't want you here has had a lot of impact. And I think it's really helped people feel confident in being able to speak up for what they believe in, which is really cool. So that's one. And then another one, just it's like a different vibe, but it's just something that's been on my mind a lot recently, has been our work with seafarers. So as we talked about, in the Philippines, it's a very resource-rich country, but the people are poor, so people have to leave to work in other countries or even work on the sea. And so as a port city, we have the special opportunity of hosting these migrants of the sea who are transporting the majority of the goods that we use every single day. And they experience a lot of exploitation, terrible conditions and abuse. And so we get to actually make care packages for them. And that one's really fun. It's like, you know, you get to like put together a little gift bag and give it to them. So I think that while learning about how the conditions in the Philippines that are upheld by the U.S. are actually forcing people to leave and work these brutal jobs. So I think those are two of the things that are really on my mind and my heart today. But
yeah, one thing that comes to mind is that nationally there's like a cancel RIMPAC campaign of various organizations, and that the RIMPAC is this the largest war games exercises. And so locally there's being work done around like Fleet Week. Just because, yeah, this is an opportunity to educate people as, like, ships are coming through Portland and people are oohing and aahing at these machines that are responsible for the murder of thousands of people, you know. And to, you know, educate people on militarization and U.S. imperialism. So there's this whole upcoming week, to be honest, there's a lot of different things you can plug into around that for the next 2 weeks, actually. Yeah, 2 weeks. So if you, on our Instagram, I'm just going to plug our Instagram really quick, pops_FFPS, we have like a list of events for the next like 2 weeks, like a graphic. So anyway, yeah, that's just one thing.
A question, it's just more of a comment, and to kind of continue with what you just said about your Instagram, is that knowing that you both are going to be here, I have done some sort of deep dives into your social media, and I just want to make a plug also that you guys, not only are you doing amazing things, but you have a lot of things to plug into of, you know, people coming to speak or different actions that people can take, and so I just want to kind of let that be known for everyone here that that you both are doing amazing work, and to follow your organizations and not only learn more, but there's a bunch of things that people can do to follow along. So thank you both.
Thank you. And if I could add to that really quick, yes, just echoing that there's so many things that each and every one of us can do, like whether you feel more comfortable, like raising your voice, making signs, or if you feel more comfortable making care packages or sending emails or things like that, there really is a role for everyone to play. And we really do need all hands on deck. So if any of you are interested in getting plugged in any way, please come talk to us. We are more than happy to help you find ways to get plugged in.
Thank you so much for coming, Andy and Yuri. I really, really appreciate it. And if you have any more questions or things you would like to talk about, they will be downstairs tabling as well. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We will be singing Guide My Feet, number 348.
Stand up. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. Hold my hand while I run this race. Hold my hand while I run this race. Hold my hand while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. Stand by me while I run this race. Stand by me while I run this race. Stand by me while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. Search my heart while I run this race. Search my heart while I run this race. Search my heart while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain.
I extinguish this flame, but not our vision and our compassion and our will until we meet again.